Hello, and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. My name is Chris, and this is where I get together with two of my favorite hat makers to see if they can look beyond my vain exterior into the warm, loving heart underneath it all. Just kidding. We are three Latinx besties, and we read romance and we talk about it. We take turns choosing a book, sometimes a romance book, sometimes a book in a different genre. This month was my pick, and as the Royal High Wizard of the book club, I went with a childhood favorite of mine called Howl's Moving Castle by Diana Wynne Jones. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. Before we get into our discussion, if you are listening, hang tight. We're going to describe what it is that we're wearing, what we're drinking, and if we have any kind of background, and I'll go first. I just got a haircut. My hair's a little shorter. And my background is from the Miyazaki movie, or I think it's fan art. I'm not sure if it's fan art. I'll look it up. I think it's fan art. And it's a scene with Howl and Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle. I tried to wear a hat. I have like this like cool like little witch hat, but my headphones won't allow for me to wear it, you know, like in a very elegant way. I'll take a picture later.
Well, I'm not wearing anything particularly notable, just a gray t-shirt. I didn't really have anything witchy or wizardry, or I don't even own any hats, honestly. So there was really not much I could bring to the look for this book. But I did make my Google Meet background. Let me just move so you can see it. It's like the jacket art for one of the earlier editions, one of the earlier hardcover editions of the book. So I thought it was really cool. Really like the art style.
I have nothing to offer you. I have neither drink nor background nor outfit. I put lipstick on so I wouldn't look like shit. But I'm just here for the vibes.
And that's okay. Because so am I. I also put on a little bit of lipstick before coming on here. So that is okay. So Dre is going to read us what the book is about. I'll tell you a little bit about Diana Wynne Jones, and then we'll get into our discussion.
Sophie has the great misfortune of being the eldest of three daughters, destined to fail miserably should she ever leave home to seek her fate. But when she unwittingly attracts the ire of the Witch of the Waste, Sophie finds herself under a horrid spell that transforms her into an old lady. Her only chance at breaking it lies in the ever-moving castle in the hills, the Wizard Howl's castle. To untangle the enchantment, Sophie must handle the heartless Howl, strike a bargain with a fire demon, and meet the Witch of the Waste head-on. Along the way, she discovers that there's far more to Howl and herself than first meets the eye. That's exactly the book I read.
That is exactly the book that I read. Diana Wynne Jones has been writing outstanding fantasy novels for more than 30 years and is one of the most distinguished writers in this field. With unlimited imagination, she combines dazzling plots, an effervescent sense of humor, and emotional truths in stories that delight readers of all ages. Her books, published to international acclaim, have earned a wide array of honors, including two Boston Globe Horn Book Award honors, and the British Fantasy Society's Carl Edward Wagner Award for having made a significant impact on fantasy. Acclaimed director and animator Hayao Miyazaki adapted Howl's Moving Castle into a major motion picture, which was nominated for an Academy Award. Diana Wynne Jones lived in Bristol, England, with her husband, a professor emeritus of English literature at Bristol University. They have three sons. So this was obviously printed at a time when she was still alive. She passed away in 2011, I think. And yeah, that's about the book and that's about the author. We are going to get into it. This book and this movie have been around for a long time. But if you are one of the people out there who haven't read it or haven't seen the movie, then this is your spoiler alert. We're going to pretty much talk interchangeably, I almost feel, between the book and the movie and everything that happens in the book and how they compare. And so if you don't want to get spoiled, just go watch it at least or read it. Your library probably has a copy, and then come back and listen to our discussion because, yeah, you might find some good stuff here. yeah, I read this book when I was a kid, and then I remembered it when I was older. I had a library at my school in Ceiba, Roosevelt Roads High School. They had a copy of this. They had a copy of The Dark Lord of Durkholm, which was one of the first books that I read by Diana Wynne Jones. And then after that, I was hooked because I loved, you know, I love fantasy. And when I was a kid, I loved like this kind of fantasy. And yeah, that's why I wanted to read it. I felt like you would enjoy it. And I felt like we could watch the movie. We didn't end up watching the movie together, but I know that Andrea watched it separately. And I felt like you would enjoy the movie as well. And so, yeah, here we are. So I am excited and anxious to hear your overall impression. So I turn it now to you. What did you think of the book? What did you think of the movie? And then I have a couple of questions just to kind of like dive in a little bit.
I felt like it was high time that I read the book because I'd seen the movie so long ago. And I did not know that it was based on a book for a very long time. I was just like, oh yeah, Miyazaki movies. Like, these are so fun. And then I was like, oh shit, wow, okay, good to know. Especially because it's Chris's favorite book, so I'm like, wow, I feel like I definitely dropped the ball on not knowing that this was a book. So I was excited to check it out. It took a second to get it too, so it's like still being borrowed in the library. And it was really fun. I think it took me a second to understand who was who at the beginning. Because it's been so long since I watched the movie, I was trying to like put together which sister was which. And then at one point they switched places and I was like, wait, which one's which? And I was like having trouble tracking that down. But afterwards it was really fun. I think the romance of it sneaks in there. It's not the main thing that's happening, which was fine. I was like having fun following the characters around regardless, but I was like waiting for it to happen. And then it like, you can like start seeing little breadcrumbs of it starting to happen. And I was like, oh, but it's almost like the romance was Sophie becoming like not even less annoyed at Howl. She was always annoyed at him. She never stopped being annoyed at him. It was more Howl starting to just be like less intentionally of a dick to Sophie. And then they're like, well, I guess we're in love now. And I was like, lol, okay. I guess that's how this story goes. But I was waiting for it to become more romantic versus what happened, which is him being like, ugh, and you doing all your cleaning, well, whatever, I brought you this gift, and then leaving, like that begrudging recognition of her as like a human being. But I thought it was really fun. There's a lot going on too, like the Witch of the Waste storyline too. I was like, I don't know why in my mind it was going to be like a fight between Sophie and her, and then like I definitely didn't remember any of the plot of this when I was reading it. So I got to enjoy it as like a fresh experience of it. So I really liked it. I had a lot of fun reading it. I told Ivan he should read it. And we're going to watch the movie whenever he gets back.
So I was completely new to this story. And I did read the book and watch the movie. And then watch the movie. I do think, for those of you who like me haven't experienced it, I think that if you watch the movie first, you will love the movie, and then you will love the book even more. Like, I did the opposite, and so I feel like I didn't love the movie as much as I could have because I was comparing it to the book, which I thought was better. And I think if I had done it the other way around, I would have been like, ooh, the book has more layers, in like a good way instead of like the opposite. But I did read the book first. I really liked it. Like, the minute I started reading, it gave me like a lot of nostalgia for the kinds of books that I read when I was younger. I think there's a certain kind of writing style that you don't necessarily see as much in children's books now. And there are reasons for it, right? Because it's like super not accessible if you're not like an advanced reader. So like, I'm glad that not all fantasy is written like that now, but it did make me feel very nostalgic for the kinds of books that I read when I was younger. I really liked the story. I really liked the characters. I think the last childhood favorite that Chris picked was more of a romance. So I was expecting more romance from the book. I think just also from what I saw on the internet. But then once I watched the movie, I understood it because the movie has way more romance. But Yeah, I really liked it. I honestly, like, I have nothing to complain about the book. I asked Chris if there was a sequel and was informed that there is, but it's not really like the same characters. So I probably won't pick it up. But if it had been like a sequel with the same people, I would have absolutely read the second book. And I don't usually follow series through, you know, so that's how much I liked the first book, that I would have kept going if there had been more on these particular characters. So yeah, good pick. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Well, I'm glad you liked it. And yeah, no, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I love this book and I want my friends to read it too. And so, yeah, we just conveniently have a book club that allowed me to do that.
No, I love when you do that. Because like now I have a whole new set of gifts I can use in like our group chat that I would never have understood before.
I think it's a fun book on its own. And we were also talking about some of the things that like didn't quite hold up, you know, to the test of 2023 as part of like being inclusive. But we'll talk about those. You mentioned that it reminded you a lot of the fantasy that you read when you were younger. And I think that, yeah, one of the reasons why I like this book so much is because I feel like I don't read books like this anymore. And I know this isn't meant to be a children's book, but I'm aware that it is like for a child who reads at this level. Like I've always been a reader. And so this is like a like upper level. I guess one of my random questions now is like, I kind of want to remember what, if you had a book like this when you were a child, like do you have like a go-to fantasy series? And I feel like I remember yours, Drea, but yeah, I don't know.
You're gonna know mine because shout out, Chris used to do these videos called Nostalgia Pals, and we filmed an episode, which maybe I don't know. You can like throw up the link.
I'll put up a card. But
you put up a card. It was the Enchanted Chronicles book series for me. The first book was called Dealing with Dragons. I have the boxed set right now on my bookshelf because at some point I just went and bought them and reread them as an adult. And then I reread them with Chris for Nostalgia Pals. And I still love them. And if you've never heard of those books, it's about a princess who doesn't want to be a princess. So she runs away and volunteers to be like a housekeeper for these dragons in exchange for them just like not eating her. And they're like, okay. And then like a bunch of princes try to save her. And she's always like, I don't want to be saved. Go away. And then she like sicks the dragons on them. And so she just goes on like a lot of adventures with these dragons. There's a romance storyline, but I just thought it was cool as shit. Like I wanted to run away and live with dragons. And so I know that I didn't read as much fantasy as Chris did. As a kid, I definitely read a lot of contemporary and mysteries. I was really into mysteries, but this series I just happened upon in Bukapla. They had the whole series, and so I borrowed it, and I still own it to this day. So that would probably be my equivalent of Howls in terms of like my childhood favorite.
Gosh, if you don't remember what your childhood favorite books were, that's okay. I just wanted to know if you had one, if you wanted to share the title, since I went ahead and shared mine with y'all.
I am having a really hard time because I think that when I was younger, I read manga. Like I just read a lot of Sailor Moon and like Ranma manga. And then had a weird trajectory where I would read like
whatever your parents had in the house.
Yeah, it was like because I didn't have any like bookstore or library or anything mm-hmm. near me. So like we would go to Borders and I would read manga, and then at the same time as I read like the first Harry Potter, I was reading Memoirs of a Geisha, and then also read like Magic Study and then Blood and Chocolate, which was the girl who was the werewolf. Remember the werewolf girl? And then
she ends up
with the werewolf guy, and that was like the best ending possible because they always made people end up with the human, but she's like, nah, this human doesn't understand me. I'm gonna go with my werewolf. And I was like, fuck yeah.
That should be our Nostalgia Pals episode. Blood and Chocolate should be our episode because I feel like
that book was sexy, but
it was hot.
But yeah, I don't think that I ever read like this type of book, because I would just kind of pick up whatever my parents had around the house, and that's how I ended up with this like sci-fi body double book that we finally found in Portland. Like, mm-hmm. that is definitely not a children's book, but like my parents did not monitor what I was reading when I was a kid. Blood and chocolate.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's cool. Don't freak out. I just was curious if you had one. So I knew Dre had one and I wanted her to share Animorphs. It out.
Animorphs.
Yeah. Oh, Animorphs is a good one too. Yeah, no, I read a ton of fantasy, and that's also because at the time I went to, yeah, my school had a library. It was the first school I'd ever been to that had like a full library, and I fucked that fantasy section up. I read all of the Diana Wynne Jones books that they had. And there's a lot of like, that's where I discovered like Ursula Le Guin. They had like the accelerated readers, which is like you could read the book and then take a little quiz and get extra credit like in your class. I don't know if you guys ever experienced that, but that was really fun. I read the Roald Dahl books and yeah, Darkest Rising series. I read a lot of fantasy books. And eventually I ran out of them. I mean, I didn't run out of them, but I ran out of the ones that I really cared about and then like moved on to the stuff like Twilight.
You know, it's funny because you mentioning Animorphs to Shai, I definitely read like the entire series and all of the spinoffs, but I have not reread those as an adult. And I don't know if you saw, but like recently someone on the internet was like, these are the most fucked up things that happen in the Animorphs book. And they went like yes. book by book. And I was like, holy shit. Like, how did I not think this was like messed up when I was reading it? Anyway, now they're redoing all the books as graphic novels. And I've read the first couple. And they're definitely like updating things.
They're less bleak for sure. No, and then the author on Twitter was like, yeah, that tracks.
Yes. The author was like, listen, this was like... 30 years ago, like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I went into like Animorphs TikTok a couple months ago, and I was telling Chris about it, where it was like, how did we all just like read these books about these kids who get like maimed and murdered and like sacrifice themselves for war and get used as tools? And I'm like,
yeah, if you ever want to like talk about like if you ever want to talk about someone like rebranding themselves, I mean, that woman is out here winning like Newberries and shit left and right for like her beautifully moving talking animal books, you know, that are like classic children's literature. And it's like, at what point did you say, you know what, I'm a pivot. we're leaving Animorphs world behind.
She's like, the animals still talk, but like at this time it's not because the kid got trapped in a body and then like decided to just dive headfirst into the sea and never come out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Remember that episode? I watched the show too, and I remember the episode where like the transfer didn't take and then the girl vomited a live alligator in the bathroom. That stuck with me forever. I was like, this is some fucked up shit. Anyway, okay. I don't want to get like too lost in memory lane. I know it's so easy to do. Let me ask you a couple of questions about the book that we read. And I mean, I don't have a ton of questions because I did kind of just want to have like a super chill kind of like a conversation about it and all the emotions that were brought up. But yeah. So, all right. One of the things that, you know, Howl's Moving Castle has is they have a lot of characters who seem to be something, but they're really not, or they have kind of like a duality to them, right? Like Sophie's got some stuff going on. Howl has, even Calcifer. And I want to say, I don't know if the Witch of the Waste does, but I know the turnip dude does. Anyway. So I was wondering like which one, I don't want to say like you had a favorite character, but which character did you find more compelling? Which one do you feel like had the most kind of like interesting kind of like story to go along with them?
Okay. In the book, it was definitely Calcifer for me. I just loved him as a side character. And I just love that like you're kind of trying to figure out the riddles at the same time that like Sophie is. Because I feel like in the movie, they just tell you everything. Like from the get-go, you know what the deal is. You know what the curse is. You know what happens. Like there's like no riddle solving. But in the book, there is. And so you know, you don't really know what Calcifer is or why he's stuck there or what'll happen when the curse gets broken. And he was just so cute too. So that was my favorite side character in the book. In the movie, it was definitely the Scarecrow. I feel like the Scarecrow barely participates in the book, but in the movie, like, he's around the entire 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, he's pogo hopping along the entire time and like fetching people things and helping with laundry. Like, and I just fucking love that Scarecrow. I really wanted to be his friend. I was sad when he, like, I knew he was going to transform, obviously, because I had read the book, but I kind of didn't want him to. I just wanted him to always be the Scarecrow. So anyway, those were my two favorites that differed from book to movie.
I wish that we had spent more time with, like, a lot of the other female characters, because I thought that Sophie's sisters sounded interesting. Because they both were, like, powerful. Like, everyone in that family was, like, a witch somehow. But then no one talked about it. And everyone was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I, like, changed my face. Whatever. No big deal. Sophie, what's up with you? And so I was like, what the fuck? So I really liked the sisters. I wish we could have seen them more. Because I feel like it would have been fascinating to just, like, see their experience of all the action. And then obviously Calcifer, he's just like funny. He's like, ugh, I don't want to do this. I'm not gonna cook for you. What? And then like finding out he's a star, that's like really cute. And I like how he did the like Aladdin genie situation where like he's set free, but he's like, I'm just gonna hang out. I'm not gonna go anywhere. I'm fine. Like, we're chill here. So I think those are probably my top characters. It's like the sisters and Calcifer. I wish I had one of those like extended editions where you like find out, you get little scenes of her, like the one sister in the bakery and the other one just being like a witch. Like,
she, honestly, that was one of
a witch.
That was one of the things I was saddest about in the movie, was that those storylines just all got chopped. And I was watching with Shaka, and so I kept making him pause. I was so annoying. I was like, listen, in the book, this happened, this switch, and then this one's dating this, and this one. And Shaka was like, what? It took us a long time to watch the movie because I kept making him pause. But yes, I love the sisters too. I would also read an extended edition.
I think that maybe the sequels could have been the sister stories. You know how like in romance books, like they have the other family members have their own story. Not the case. My favorite character is Sophie. I feel so basic, but I really like her story. I really like I like her in the book and in the movie for different reasons. I think the movie does a really good job of showing that Sophie is just kind of like stuck, like, but by herself. By circumstance, yes, but mainly by herself, because I feel like her appearance changes a lot during the movie. Like, there's times when she kind of like morphs in and out, like when she's feeling really sure of herself, you know, or when she kind of like forgets that, you know, she should be worried about something. She kind of like reverts back into like the 18-year-old that she's supposed to be. And then she kind of like, oh, right, of course, I'm busy and I should be doing, this is what my life should be. And she kind of like turns back into the old woman. I really like her. I think that this, I know that like the romance is kind of like a side plot. I think the true story is like Sophie finding herself and then, you know, happening to be in the situation where she finds love in an unexpected way. I will say that like Michael and Markle are like the strangest change that I thought, right? Michael is a teenager in the book. He's like 15 and then he's a child in the movie.
So I think having him as a child makes sense because it like cements the idea of like, this is a family.
Family, like, yeah.
Looking after the little kid. And I think the only reason he was older in the book was because of the dating plot lines. But since all the dating plot lines got axed for the movie, there was no need really to keep him as a teen, you know? Mm-hmm. But also I was like, the entire movie, I was like, why has no one given me an explanation as to why this 5-year-old kid is living with, like, who sent their kid away this young? Like, there's no explanation given.
Get out of here.
Parents, like, nothing.
There were like 6 siblings and they're like, this is too many. You need to leave.
So I guess one of my next questions is, it's got to do with Sophie and Hal and, you know, their romance and how you felt about it. If a lot of people consider this book like pretty romantic. I want to say that it's not very romantic, but I get it. Like, I get why. And I just want to hear your case for it. Like, do you think this is a romantic book? I know why the movie is romantic, because I think Hal is more like a hero in that one than he is like a little bitch. He's a fucking bitch in the book. Like, he's a little drama queen, big time. But even so, I can see the appeal, but I kind of want to hear your reasoning. Did you find it romantic? You know, do you think that people should consider this like a romance, even though it's like a book for kids? I think, you know, obviously we read young adults and we read kid books and they can have romance. They can talk about love. That's fine. Yeah. What were your thoughts on that, like, if you had any expectations? Yeah, ramble on if you care.
Honestly, I think the only reason I was like looking for romance was because I knew you had picked it for our romance book club. But if you had said, Andrea, let's do a buddy read outside of book club, I probably would have completely glossed over any romantic elements and then at the end been like, huh, well, that's weird. You know what I mean? Because I just wouldn't have been like paying attention to that, because I thought it was so inconsequential in the story. Like, it was such a tiny, tiny plot point. But I think because I was reading it like the entire time, I was like, there must be romance in here because it's romance book club. Every little thing I was like, is this a crumb? Yeah, I think it's a crumb. So I think because I was looking at it with that perspective, I could kind of see the trail being left out for me. But I think if I hadn't gone into it with that mindset, I would have just read the book for like the magical adventure and then honestly been surprised at the end.
Yeah, I think I see this more as like an adventure book than I do a love book, a romance, because it's like, it's almost like accidentally a romance, the same way that everything that happens in the plot is almost like driven by accident. Like, everyone just kind of stumbles into what's going on. Like, Sophie accidentally insults this, like, she gets confused. She gets mistaken for somebody else. So she accidentally stumbles into getting like transformed into this thing. Like, Hal's a little slut. So he's just like bopping around, stumbling from one like dramatic stumble to another. Like, the sisters stumble into, like, everyone's just stumbling into everything else and like bumping into stuff. And then suddenly they're like, oh shoot, did we like, damn, I thought we were like stumbling into being friends, but I guess we're like in love with each other. All right, what are we gonna do about this? Well, I say we just go with it, you know? Let's just say yes and see where we end up. And apparently where they end up was with a little kitten. So it works out for them.
I will say, I do think that she is writing within the constraints of like the time period. I think, you know, YA romance or books that are not romance but contain romance, like for children and not just like young adults but even like younger children, I feel like are way more popular now. Like, I feel like if she was writing this book right now, there would have been more romance in it because that's the market. Like, teenagers want romance in their books. Whereas I think back then, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like that had to do with it. Just like the year it was written and the market back then and like who she was writing to, I think did have a lot to do with it also.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, on my first read, I don't know if I like definitely, I think the romance in like being in love with a wizard is there, but that's like definitely like a Chris thing, you know, like I want to love a magician and I want to be magic. I want to be close to magic. But I mean, I picked it because there's a crumb or two of romance in it. Like, sorry, I punked y'all. I made you read a kid's book.
There's a lot of people like feeling love.
Yeah, yeah.
My sister's got everybody in love with her because she's so pretty and perfect.
Yeah.
And then Michael ends up like falling for the other Letty because there's two Letties.
There's two Letties, yeah.
Listen, and that's why, and I said it in like our private chat, but like I would absolutely read like an adult Well, I would read an adult version of this book. I would also read like fanfic, but I would also just read like an adult version of this book because I love the asshole love interest. I love the guys who are just giving you a tiny little crumb and throwing some magic. And like, I think this could be an excellent adult concept with a lot of like high steamy scenes in the castle.
Yeah. You know what this book reminds me of? This book, well, it's funny because I hated that book, but like over time I have softened it. But I don't know if you remember this book, Uprooted. This book reminded me a lot of Uprooted by Naomi Novik in the sense of like, oh yes, this like magic man and this.
But
like,
that had romance.
No, that was like, you know, but that's what I'm thinking of. Like when you're like, oh, I would read this now. And I was like, I think we read Uprooted.
You're right. Uprooted has similar vibes.
I think it's romantic, but yeah, I think it's in that sense of like, oh, this is an adventure and it's got a little bit of everything, you know, it's got like, it's got a little bit of everything. I mean, we're running, we're afraid, we're like a family, and hey, we're in love now. And I'm just like, oh, yes, it's just got everything that I want in a story.
And it has like talking magic.
Yes.
Hey, water, you're like super not water, you're juice now. And then it's just juice. And it's like, yay, my favorite kind of magic is lazy magic.
Yeah. I like that, Sophie. I like Sophie's powers. She's so cool.
Yeah, I really missed that in the movie. And that was another one of those little things we were talking about where I feel like they could have just let her have the same powers and it wouldn't have changed the way they wanted to take the movie. But I really liked her powers in the book. 100%. I love that she talked to the hats. Like, I wish I would wear a hat if it meant it was like a magic hat shop. And like, I don't even care if I don't know what spell is being put on me. I would buy a hat just to see what happens.
Can I get a hat that makes me not motion sick? Thanks.
Yes. She's just cool. I love Sophie. I love her as a main character. Like, I like her more in the book, but I think she's super cool. I love someone who has a craft. Come on. Like a trade. Hello.
Oh my gosh. When she realized that she was making him more attractive to women because she kept like hemming his coat.
Then she's just like, I have to destroy this coat.
I have to destroy the coat.
I destroyed this coat. God damn it.
Yeah. I also like how Calcifer, I feel instantaneously was like, oh dear. You know, like immediately was kind of like, oh, I see where this is going. And knows that she's magic. And then also knows where it's probably going to go with Hal. But I also want to say that maybe he was cautious because he knew that Hal was like a slut, like a little slutty butt. So maybe his oh no was like, oh no, he's gonna like hurt this person that I like and that could possibly get me out of this contract. So yeah.
Hal is so fucking stupid that he's like not gonna miss the opportunity with this like magic girl that's right here because he's like dumb and distracted by other things.
Yes. I mean, he doesn't have a heart, so why would he care? Or, you know, heartless. My other question, it has to do with the Witch of the Waste and the curse stuff that we were talking about. What did you think of that?
The curse on Sophie or on Howl?
On both. What did you think of like the Witch of the Waste? It could be from the book. It could be from the movie. You know, did you have any thoughts about that? I originally didn't even consider that she had cursed Sophie because I felt like Sophie was like self-cursing almost. You know what I mean? But yeah, what do you think of that character? What do you think of her as an antagonist and her curses and what she did in the story? Curious about that.
Okay, I did not like her in the movie. I did not like how they made her physically. Like, that upset me a little. But also, I just didn't like her arc in the movie, and all the cursing and stuff didn't make as much sense to me, because in the movie she's like, oh, I just want to like eat Howl's heart because I like to eat hearts because I'm a wicked witch, ha ha ha. But in the book it's like she's like a jilted lover, and that made so much more sense to me, you know, that like she would go out and be like seeking to destroy everything about this man's life because she truly liked him and he broke her heart just like he did everyone else. And like that as what do you call it? Like what drives a villain?
The motivation?
Yeah. or yeah, Chris is muted, so I don't know what you said, but yeah, whatever. I think that really worked in the book, and I understood what was going on, even if I was like, oh no, all these people have all these things happening because of the witch. But also I was like, bueno, que te pase, you know, like, why'd you go around messing with her? Whereas in the movie, I don't think what they did with her worked quite as well. And also the curses were different in the movie anyways. But in the book, I thought they were like very clear cut and they made a lot of sense to me. And I didn't like hate her. Like, I liked her as a villain. I liked her character.
I don't think that I realized that she was into Howl. I'm going to be really honest.
Yeah, she was definitely going after him because they had something and he like left her. Like, he leaves everybody else. Like, yeah. And maybe Sophie was immune to this because Sophie ended up living in the house. But had he like tried to date her, he probably would have left her if and when she showed any signs of affection for him. So
she like bumped into him on the street and he was like flirting with her, but she was just not trusting it. She didn't understand it. She'd never been around anybody. She was like already repressed in her own, because she had already predestined herself to be like the failure of the family because she was the oldest. So she's like, why is this guy talking to me? I don't understand what's going on. So I think she had already convinced herself that that would never happen to her. So there's no way he would have even been able to charm her if he had tried. But as far as the Witch of the Waste is concerned, she's like bonkers. Like, she's pure chaos. She's like, ugh, I don't like your shoes. You're a doorknob. Walks away. Like, I was trying to like follow her train of thinking whenever she would show up, because I'm like, this is like so complicated, because there was the king and the prince and the wizard, and then she's just like mad and she keeps showing up and I can never tell what's going on. And because I'd never read the book before, when like the teacher character is like showing up, I'm like, is this her? I feel like this is her. How does no one realize that it's her? So I think
she's in the movie, the teacher is like the actual villain.
Okay.
Like, the movie has two villains.
Gotcha.
But the book only has the witch.
Okay. I think I need to like watch the movie and then like listen to the audiobook and then reconcile the two different versions again. But I liked her. She's just crazy. I loved the chaotic energy that she brought to the situation, and that she was super powerful. Like, I enjoyed that. I wish that the like fight had happened more on screen versus like ping-ponging on the periphery of what was going on, but like Sophie wasn't the one fighting, so I get that we didn't get parts of it until like right near the end, when like there's so many layers to her defeat that I can't even get into like what exactly leads to her being defeated. But I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was good that it took more than like one thing to defeat her. It wasn't like, oh, we stole her shoes and now she doesn't have power. It's like there was so much going on to get her to the point where she was this super strong witch, and then it took like different things happening to take her down too. Like, it took teamwork to take down this one villain. So I like that. She was strong as shit and like just, you know, felt smart. She felt like a smart lady.
Yeah. No, I'll agree. That's also a reason I liked her in the book, because in the movie, she's nowhere near as strong. Mm-hmm. And like, they go like that and her powers are gone. Mm-hmm. Whereas like in the book, she's like,
yeah,
strong.
She is an effective villain. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, this is, I mean, obviously, you know, there are stakes, you know, like the movie, I mean, not the movie, the book. I don't even consider her a bad guy in the movie, I'll be honest. Like, the movie,
is completely different character.
There are several bad guys, but the biggest bad guy is war. Let's be honest. Like, it's war. You know, it's like the Iraq war. but, you know, in the book, she is a formidable opponent. So much so that, like, Hal and Calcifer, like, would rather run the fuck away from her than, like, actually even talk to her. And I thought that the ridiculousness of their conflict was like really disarming, because I really truly felt like they were in danger whenever she was like coming for them. She's about to wreck his fucking life, you know? And because he's built up this like little family, you know, those are the stakes. It's like, oh shit, like Howl's really like running for himself, but there's also Michael and there's also Calcifer and now there's Sophie. And so when she comes to wreck shit up, it's like everything is at stake now. So
And you know that it's at stake too, because she went and fucking like killed the teacher. Yes. So she could kill anybody. No, you
she
know?
Is dangerous. Yeah, she's dangerous. And I like that. I feel like the villain in the book does, like, she doesn't pull any punches. The witch and also Diana. They didn't pull any punches when it came to creating like a character that I was scared of. And I was like stressed. Like, I, you know, like you read it and like, I know what's going to happen, but my heart's still racing. Like, I'm just like, oh shit, oh shit. I do agree that I wish that the fight had been more epic, like, and on screen, but I'm okay with that. It wasn't Sophie's fight, and I consider this Sophie's book. So I like that she was a support character, and support characters deserve, you know, deserve their spotlight too. You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm glad that you enjoyed the Witch of the Wastes, because I think, and what a name, Witch of the Wastes. Hello. I want to inspire fear. I want a name. I want a cool ass fucking name like that. I want to inspire fear.
She was like casually taking people's heads off.
She was building the perfect boyfriend, right? She was like building.
It wasn't even like a metaphor. Like, oh, she's like taking parts of people, like their personality. It's like, no, she like took his head and then his body was kind of in a closet. And then she met this other guy.
But like, I got it though. Like, if I had superpowers and I was at the point over time where like men had just fucked me over like time and time and again, like who knows? Maybe I would have been like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm gonna make my own man.
Yeah. And but also I also feel like it wasn't like over, it wasn't too campy. It wasn't like too much. Like, I feel like if I watched this today, I would like absolutely be like, oh, here we go. You know, I didn't feel that way in the book. And I think that it just holds up in that way. I have one more question, and it's kind of like an open-ended question. And then we'll talk a little bit about what we're reading and then what we're going to read next month. And my question is, if you were the owner of a moving castle and you had a door that could open to a different portal, like a different area, where would it lead to? Also, I am a little sad that they did not include the fact that Howl is just like some guy from Wales.
Yeah, and like his family, and how he had that sad little window where he would just watch his niece from.
Yeah, you know, watch TV.
Let me tell you, when that came up, I was like, is this like the Wizard of Oz, where he's like not actually a wizard at all? And showed up here and was like lying this whole time. But then he like did actual magic. But it's like, did you get magic because you like wandered and
He studied magic. He like studied magic at the university. And then anyway, this was his escape hatch from like the rugby boys. I feel like if I'm remembering correctly, that's what it was. But anyway, yes. I get why it's not included in the movie, because it is very jarring. We're like, wait, he's just some guy? He's just some fucking guy. Okay. All right.
The land of Wales.
And then there were like all these like random, like, like totally out of the blue. But I was like, how fucked up is it that like his nephew's teacher is the like widowed fiance of the guy that he was supposed to go like find? Like, I love that shit.
There's a lot of stuff going on, but yes, I digress, and so shall we. Where would your door lead to? Where would your like magic door lead to?
Cabo Rojo. I don't get to go home as much as I would like. For one, so I definitely don't get to be in PR in general as often as I would like. Two, I don't get to go to the ocean very much in general either, because I do not live on the coast. And three, I really hate flying. And so the perfect solution to all three of those things is a door that would take me straight to one of the towns that has some of my favorite beaches in PR.
You mean with my 8-sided doorknob? Because I cheat at all these questions.
No cheating.
It would take me to Costa Azul. The other one would take me to the West Coast, probably San Francisco.
I wonder who's over there.
But I didn't know we could choose multiple doors.
Well, we're not. But
you need to learn to just cheat. I always cheat. I never
follow the rules.
I never answer. That's why I'm the Witch of the Waste, and you are
I'm Sophie. We all know I'm Sophie.
Tú eres la bruja buena, and then I'm constantly cheating. No, I would do like how. I'd be like, where do I want to go that's like convenient? Like one door would take me to like the capital of Bulgaria so Ivan can go see his family. Pure convenience. Where do I want to be able to go and not have to fly? Because I hate it. And also pet fees for airplanes are like expensive. Like, okay, let's go. We're going to go visit grandma. Get in the door. But if I had to pick, then I guess it would be Gota Sur.
Yeah, I guess I could visit my family too. My door would lead into my grandma's backyard.
It I was would about be... to say Florida.
No. No. I'd be like, Mom, I'm using the door in a couple of weeks. Just letting you know this is when I'd be there. Anyway, I would go to my grandma's garden. It feels magical and it feels like a place where, like, you know, I would turn the knob and it would just open up and it would be a magical place to step into. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that with me. That's it for my questions. Did you have any questions or final thoughts that you wanted to kind of like drop in here before we kind of like wrap it up and talk about what else we're reading?
I feel like I probably would have ended up wanting to date Owl. I don't know that I would have wanted to date him for a long time, but if he smelled as good as they say he smells in the book, then I would have been like,
I mean, I would too, but in my mind, I'm Howl in the story. I feel like, sorry?
I said, I mean, you are.
I mean,
that's the waste. And Andrea Sophie.
That's why I don't have a heart. That's why I don't have feelings. I just don't have a heart. That's why. But it's because I made a bargain with a falling star. Just understand me. There's layers. What else are you reading? So actually in reading Howl's Moving Castle, it reminded me that I actually have an old copy, which I don't have here, but I went ahead and got it from the library. So I'm going to be rereading it. But I read the first part of it on my Kindle, and it's called Reflections on the Magic of Writing. And this is like collected by Diana Wynne Jones. It's got a foreword by Neil Gaiman, which is what I'm currently reading. And yeah, it's just a bunch of essays that she picked. And like biographies, and it talks about her life and the stuff that like inspired her to write and how she got to the point where she is now, where she was then. And it was published, I think, a year after she passed away. And then aside from that, I'm also reading Bad Cree by Jessica Johns. It's Indigenous horror and premises that Indigenous chick can bring things back from her dreams, like physical things. And it's pretty spooky, but it's very good too. So yeah, that's what I'm reading.
I just started a new book today. I can't hold it up and show it because it's an e-arc on my Kobo, but I'm gonna drop the link in the chat so you can see the cover, because it is probably one of my favorite covers of the year. Honestly, it is so gorgeous. Stop, Chris. I'm allowed to call favorites, okay? And
I'm allowed to take a shot every time you say it. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm allowed to take a shot.
Nah, it's a YA romance between a Mexican-American boy and an undocumented Mexican NB teen. It's pitched as Aristotle and Dante meets The Hate U Give meets The Sun Is Also a Star. Oof. So I am expecting to cry. but yeah, it comes out in like a month and a half.
I just finished reading and returned to the library today, The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches, which was very, very cute. I'm currently reading It Came from a Closet. And I think I'm going to start reading Jeanette McCurdy's book. I'm Glad My Mom's Dead. So I think I'm going to start reading that one soon because it feels like it'll be a pretty quick read.
So next month, we are going to be reading about some queer heartbreak in a bakery. The Heartbreak Bakery by A.R. Capetta. It's our next pick. It'll be Tashai's turn to host, and I'm really excited. I just put a hold on it in the library, so I'm going to try to start it as soon as possible. Out of children and into young adult. Okay. And yeah, that wraps up our discussion of Howl's Moving Castle. Really appreciate you guys reading with me. I hope that you recommend it to other people and that, you know, they can join in on the fun. And yeah, leave us a comment if you have read the book, have not read the book, watched the movie, have not watched the movie. Who's your favorite character? Do you ship Howl and Sophie? Do you ship Calcifer? Anyway, and yeah, we'll catch you in the next one, except Dre is going to say something, so she'll say it now.
If you have listened to our Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse episodes and would like to weigh in on whether movie Howl resembles death, please do so in the comments below.
You know, you're the only one that's going to comment, so whatever. Goodbye, internet. Goodbye.
Thank you for hanging out with us. You can support Only Lovers Book Club by dropping some change in our tip jar and buying some books with our bookshop link. You can find us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club, and from there, find our individual accounts and projects. Feel free to favorite or rate us if that's an option for you, but always make sure to like and subscribe and turn on your notifications so you never miss an episode.